and you can't really go into the deeper levels of awareness if there's too much tension in the muscles or in the nerves. You find sometimes the body has a tendency to sway or move. Don't block it. In some schools of thought, they tell you to block it, don't let the body sway. This is because in the Indian method of meditation, they want you to be rigid and straight, so that an influx of the energy of the spine would come on very fast, and if you were swaying, it would take you by surprise and you might get excited. But if you sway, let the body unwind its own self naturally in the meditation, the energy rising would rise like a heat and you begin to recognize it. And therefore you wouldn't get scared or excited and you would flow with the movement. So when the energy rises into the brain, the whole body is rejuvenated better, it's pliable, the transformation in the cells are better, the crystals that are burnt up by the heat sends out those particular conditions that cause the body to be restless. They no longer become restless, they are burnt up in the meditation. That's where you get the term burning up your karma in your meditation. The actions and the thoughts that are triggered, they have a residue in the body. And the residue is in the ganglia, in the spine. And when the spine is rigid, those nerve endings and those crystals of fighting too much to break loose. So sometimes you feel very tight, very emotionally stressed out. You feel very anxious, like if something is closing in on you, and then you get scared. This is because the spine is too tight, and when the energy starts rising, it creates a tremendous pull on the body. And it takes us by surprise, and we feel we're being swamped or carried away beyond our control. But if you don't sit down in that rigid state, and you just let the whole body loosen itself up from the toes, ankles, kneecap, hips, right up to the head, you'll unwind quicker and the whole body will move into that flow easier. For Western men, this type of meditation is better. For the Eastern man, he's been subjected a long time to sitting in that rigid position, especially in the lotus, where the spine is kept erect and the brain is kept straight. The head doesn't move, doesn't put its whole pocket. The Western man drives a car, his body has tremendous jolts. He's subject to more stresses. Therefore, this type of meditation will not be effective or very, very productive for him. It's too much stress to him. He's adding stress to stress. It's better for him to unwind. It's better for him to loosen up and flow with the motion. And that way, all the stress starts to dissipate itself from the nerves, in the spine, and out through the hands, and out through the feet. And he begins to rise quicker in those various levels of consciousness than he would normally if he try to remain rigid and fight the situation and end up not really making any headway in meditation. When you come out of meditation, you should not only feel the bliss or the experience of seeing the radiant form, but the body should be very, very loose. There should be no feeling of density in the body. The body should be automatically flying. And that way you know that you have the most effective meditation, because you have experienced what is known as regeneration of the self. The purpose of this regeneration is what Jesus meant when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." The cells are revitalized quicker. There comes a time when the body does not need sleep no more. It begins to revitalize itself without the need of sleep. It can then retain its true potential while rising in different levels of consciousness, and at the same time inhibit the breakdown and the tension rates by having this rejuvenation occurring within itself. So if the body is made to flow with the motion, that's where they got the idea of the snake now. This is like the head of the cobra. The body does like that. That movement gets the body more loose and pliable. The real experience is one of buoyancy, one of lightness. And the joints aren't stiff or tight. The body is much more relaxed. It's important, because if you want to go into the various pressure points in your body, once the body is pliable, the various pressure points in your body become very active. They are not as sore when you touch them, and therefore healing or self-correction goes on fast in the body, and the body goes into a better state of electrical polarity than if it's rigid, tight, and straining. And when you come out, the body feels like it's still heavy, and instead of feeling buoyant, you can press a pressure point and it stings too much, and it feels like it's getting numb, then you're not really relaxing properly inside. There is too much tension occurring.
Would the meditation help before you went to meditation?
No. That's good.
Yeah.
No, yoga positions before the meditation wouldn't help to limber you up to the type of result you're looking for. You'll feel loose if you do yoga postures. You'll feel warm. And you'll sit down and meditate, but you'll get back into that rigid state again. What you're trying to achieve, you see, Western body is not like Eastern body. Western body is large. It goes into stress quicker than Eastern body. It heats up faster than Eastern body. The nutritional patterns were different in the growing up stage. You have too many reactions occurring. So you find that you want to get at a certain state of relaxation quicker in this environment to be effective. Otherwise, you're going to get bored and irritable, and meditation will seem like a long drawn out affair. This is normal results of most people in this part of the world trying to meditate. After a while, they get bored. They don't realize what are the patterns involved, the structural conditions of the environment. And teachers who try to force that long period need to be aware of what is going on. The body is different than the Eastern body in this respect, that they have eaten a long time certain vegetarian style of eating, where they have sit in a certain position for hours. We don't do that. We drive a car, we're involved with activity, we're busy making decisions, we're busy emoting energy, we're busy under stress, so we can't shut off. We're caught up in rungs of attitudes, so it's a different experience altogether. So whatever relaxation that you do acquire in meditation is not carrying you to the levels of spiritual experiences. And then if your body has been filled with chemicals from aspirins and different things before, these residues have tremendous effects on you. They try to make you too rigid. What you need is a way of how to move the body parts, which is mechanically natural in you already. The shoulder is something that we seldom do like that. Yet most of us in this society are tense around the shoulder. All around here. If you were to press somebody on their neck right now, you'll feel how sore they are. The kneecaps are the ankles, the hip, around the pelvis. These are sore areas for us because of different positions of work we're doing. Now we're sitting in chairs where our feet is overhanging like this all the time. We don't sit in this position where the normal joints are turned in to keep us in this position. So we don't really relax properly. Now, what you want to do is to close the eyes and feel that your whole body is twisting gradually. All the parts are relaxing off. And you want to twist, not imagine. You want to physically twist your body. Twist the ankle, twist the knee, twist the hip. Physically twist the shoulder and twist the neck so that those muscles, those actual muscles, are moving for the first time naturally within you, as if it was a tree swaying in the wind. Now, don't worry with what you see or what you don't see. It's not important in the process of unwinding in order to alter the consciousness of the experience, because the energy will automatically flow into those areas and the brain would automatically shift. This will come faster than the long or the sit down trying to focus. You want to try it now? Okay. God is life, and since God is life, the experience is bliss in the body, which is buoyancy, exaltation. Now, it's locked up in you by a series of shocks and suppressions and confrontations and ideational patterns. And in order to release it, don't fight it, but let it be by merely letting the body undulate from wrist, finger, toe. That's the origin of the Oriental temple dance. It looks like a dance, it may represent a dance, representing some functions of creation, but in actuality it's the undulating movement of energy flowing through the entire body and giving it the rhythmic experience of joy. So, with your ankles, literally just turn them and kneecaps, the hips, the shoulder blades, the neck, and let it loosen up. Wherever you feel a soreness and a tightness, work upon it, because that is where energy is being blocked up in you. That's where tension is being retained in you, it's not releasing itself. You may find you want to yawn. It's good and fine. If you're yawning, that's an indication you're letting go of stress. You might as well call this a meditation debriefing. You're learning to debrief your body from stress. You want to yawn, it's good, because yawning is an indication of deep stress, deep tension, bordering towards relaxation. When a man wants to sleep, he always finds he tends a tendency to yawn. And this is very good because it's releasing out the stress from your solar plexus. It's taking it out from the heart area, all out from the neck, all out from the lungs, and the eyes, if you want to wink them. That all helps to relax them. The fingers, they feel to be little joints, like if you're playing a guitar, they are getting pliable. The toes, just let the whole body just undulate. And all of this stress and tension is flowing out of your body into the color of red. Red is the vitality color, the anger color too at the same time, the resentment color. It's flowing out of the body. And the whole thing is now starting to flow in the colors of orange. If you see the orange, it's okay. If not, it's occurring in the orange spectrum of the brain and you're undulating and releasing and letting go of the tension of the body, the breathing. If you yawn, it's good. That means the old air is coming out from the lungs, getting out of the system. All the stress is coming out, all from the neck. It's all coming out. Now it's going out in yellow. All the idea patterns of the day, all the decisions that you have to make, they're letting out themselves. It's flowing out. All the self-consciousness is flowing out. all the self-importance, self doubt is flowing out in that yellow. It's flowing out now in green. Green is a new start, a new change. Transformation is occurring in the body now. The body is letting go. Like springtime, the whole body is starting afresh. It's starting to recycle itself. It's starting to rejuvenate itself. You're coming out of the winter of tension into the spring of relaxation. Your whole body is starting to sway. The breath is the wind. The whole body is like a tree. And the whole head inside is like a light. All around you is this light of this internal sun. All the nerves and muscles are swaying like a tree in the wind. The body has been called the tree of life. It is a tree, it's designed like a tree. And when we flow and sway with it, we will find all the tension letting go, all the anxiety and the stress that has been built up over the years, all the tightness. And your mind may want to twist and turn, let it be, let it flow. It's changing now into colors of blue, like the sky. And you're swaying and flowing. All the top of the skull, the hair, the face, the ears, the nose, the lips, the neck, the shoulder blades, the chest, the hips, the hands, the fingers, the kneecaps, the calves, the ankles, the toes, they're all stretching now for the first time. They're all stretching and unwinding. Stretching and unwinding. Each toe is separately moving independently for the first time. Energy is flowing. You are the energy flowing within the whole body structure. Any pain, any ache, you are actually moving it out of your system. You're moving the tension from those areas where your ache and pain. All the heaviness, and it's all changing now into purple. If you see the purple, it's okay. If not, it's occurring in the purple spectrum of the brain, and you're unwinding, letting it out, flow out. The hands want to move, let it move. The movements of the body are called mudras, which means gestures in relation to consciousness. And every gesture, every mood are related to each other. And once you synchronize a gesture with a mood, tension lets go. Stress lets go, and the body feels very pliable, very soft, very loose. For the first time, you feel youthfulness coming back into the body. The whole body gets to be very, very light, flowing, Now it's all changing into violet. All around you, glowing in violet. Let each part of the body move like a wave on the ocean. Waves in the ocean, they rise and they fall. They rise and they fall. They rise and they fall. The waves of the ocean are the most relaxed movement. And the body is all like an ocean. It has water inside. It has waves of motion that can rise and fall. The shoulder can rise and fall. The wrist can rise and fall. The kneecaps, the hips. Each twist, each movement brings you joy, brings you release, brings you peace. Brings you liberation, liberation from the tension, the suppressed tension. All the ideas of the day, the thoughts of the day that brought on pressure in you are now being floated away. They're flushing themselves out of your body. You find yourself breathing deeper than ever, without effort. Your whole body is tingling with this natural energy, this natural vitality, which is really you, which is the God in you. It's tingling up from the toes, through the ankles, through the calves, through the kneecaps, through the thighs, the groin, the hips, the liver, the kidney, the gallbladder, all up through the chest, into the lungs and the heart, all through the fingertips, all along the forearm, the shoulder blades, all around the thyroid, the neck, all along the face, the lips, the jaws, the nose, eyes, ears, forehead, top of the skull. The whole body is tingling with this light, this vitality. You feel alive for the first time. The real you. Alive, flowing. Every cell, every pore, you're feeling oneness. You're feeling your oneness. You and the Father of one. You and the life power of one. Flowing into you, one, all the time. A complete sense of oneness. A complete sense of totality. No more wandering. No more indecisions. No more feeling of insecurity. No more feeling of inharmony. Your whole body is in a state of complete harmony and polarity. Your mind and body are synchronized for the first time. They're synchronized into a state of joyous peace. Now flow with it, like if you're lying on the ocean, just floating with it. Enjoy it. Enjoy your real being. Enjoy your inner being. Enjoy yourself rising into other levels of consciousness, other heavens, other galactic systems, into the entire spectrum of the universe. Feel yourself receiving more and more that inner light, that radiant form of the divine Christ principle in yourself. It's surrounding you, enveloping you, and filling you with vitality, real vitality, real wisdom of beingness, filling you with an eternal certitude of yourself, an eternal confidence, an eternal strength of identity. Just flow with the joyousness of yourself. Just enjoy the presence, sitting in the presence. Enjoy the intensity of the silence. Feel the hands alive and let them pass over each other, as if you're rubbing the whole body. And all the stress is now being drawn out like a vacuum out of your whole body. And you just flow it out from the fingertips. All along from the hip. Just flow it out from the system. Opening up like a flower. Feel yourself alive, fresh and revitalized. Tension. Now you see this type of meditation, how effective it is? You don't have to strain to achieve this result. This is far more effective for the rest of the person's way of life than the rigid pattern of meditation. Then you can sit and really let your mind move, because you have brought the body to its normal flowing state without stress. Move your fingers and feel them. Do they feel alive? Like there's no density in them. There's no heaviness in them. The body for the first time, like it's just pure light flowing. Pure vitality.
I'll be honest.
Good. That's an indication that a great deal of stress has gone out of the system. Well, that is what stress is. That is what tension is. The outward mechanical gestures tell us if we're getting effective results. Meditation is to help you to break down these suppressed tensions that causes premature aging of the body. And it interferes with the flow of bliss, which is God in you. And the perfection of it is the mastery of it. The mastery of the flow, the mastery of entering that flow and synchronizing with it. So a master is a person who has synchronized with his flow. But he experiences a wisdom, not a knowledge. There's a big difference between a knowledge and a wisdom. He may not know to do mathematics. He may not even know the simple principle of how to fix one of these objects. But from a wisdom level, his consciousness is flowing to where he's incorporating all the behavior patterns of nature within himself. And he understands how his fellow man flows and works from within himself. That's a different type of experience altogether. But nevertheless, he can focus his mind upon this if he wants and try to understand this faster than the average individual who may be battering his brain to memorize it and understand it. So once you are loose and pliable inside, you can focus easier. Concentration don't mean to strain. It means to focus in a relaxed state. And to be in a relaxed state so that retentive faculty can work much easier without stress. And you will feel and notice gradually that the whole body is becoming younger or alive, loose and pliant, toned up, healthier, vibrant. These are the physical symptoms you're looking for as evidence of the internal change of the person. When a person is achieving peace, the first thing you begin to notice is that the softness in their manner, the quality of their expression and movement. They seem to glide after a while. The heavy, gross movement seems to go away from them. It's a form of refinement of their whole mechanism. You can feel that in yourself. You can know that. You can experience it. when you first started out to meditate, and after a few months of meditation, you notice that the whole body seems to have a sort of a buoyant movement in itself. It's flowing. It's refining itself. And this is the evidence you're looking for, that you are actually growing spiritually. Spiritual growth is not measured by the psychic ability, because a blow on the head can stop all psychic ability. Spiritual growth is measured by the cellular transformation in bliss while in the waking state, while in the active state, while in the state of constant activity. How this body works without being fatigued. How energy can flow through it to sustain it without calling upon tremendous mechanical gadgets to bring this energy into a manifestation. How to relate on a conscious level, without stress, without anxiety, without frustration, and how to move without trying to avoid confrontation. The spiritual growth is one of internal certitude. You feel it, you know it, that's where you get the term faith. You get the feeling of you will overcome, you will make it. It is that particular inner strength that comes from the pliancy of the muscles, the nerves, and the vital power is feeling it, so that the brain now begins to respond, and then the sense of identity is stronger in you. Now, you're going to look kind of weird to most people, because you don't go along with the normal routine of your thinking and existence. You always seem to be on a kind of high, and you think you're taking some fanciful type of drug, or you're drinking some fanciful type of alcohol. I remember one time reading where a drunk bumped into Yogananda, and all of a sudden he said, "Hey buddy, what kind of alcohol are you drinking? I wish I had some of that." The energy was so strong from Yogananda's body, it brought the man sober and at the same time raised the vibrancy in his brain. But Yogananda just looked at him and smiled, and the man was instantaneously drawn into the magnetism of the vital power, that he lost all craving for alcohol and wanted to know what is it that the teacher had that kept him in that buoyant state. Now, he didn't perform any miracle, yet a miracle occurred in the contact with the two men by the inner process changing the behavior pattern of one man into a much more elevated state of behavior. And that was the miracle of contact. The spirit was working from within. So when we elevate this whole mechanism, when we clean it up, let go of the inner stresses, then this mechanism starts to flow. It radiates an energy in itself. And it has a tremendous effect on other living mechanisms. So we're not too concerned with trying to develop miracles, because that's not really a growth. That's a byproduct of a growth. We are more concerned in raising our love nature up, our attitude of buoyancy, which is surrender or devotion to the divine principle, God in our case. The more we are surrendering, the more pliable we are, the more relaxed we are, the more flexible we are, the more adaptable we are. So the bodily movement is an indication of how you can get into this state quicker, instead of the rigid active state, the more loose mobile state gets you into it quicker. You have the proof of the two types of meditation. Now you notice one seems to stay with you without even trying to hold on to it. You're not exerting mental effort to hold on to the peace.
Can it keep you alert, like if you're just physically really tired, and it, like you have to drive a long ways or something?
Well, yes, if you apply the method, it works. I drove to come here from Houston, Texas. In fact, I drove back from North Carolina last time I was here to Houston, Texas in 24 hours, all by myself.
Demon on that road high.
No.
Won't stop. I didn't go bright. You want a breath of fresh air, yeah, you take the window.
The distance I was making was about 60 miles to the hour, consistently. And then I came back with a friend who loaned me the car to go down. And he will tell you, it was the first time he had ever driven on long distances, which he dreaded very much, and did not feel an ache and a pain when we arrived. We left on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we arrived Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Absolutely relaxed. Nerves are the springs, and if you are slowly moving it and trying to relive the movements in the womb, a baby is the most relaxed creature born, you know, but much more when it's in the womb, because it's moving in those fluids and the whole body is relaxed, and the state of mind for a baby is total cosmic consciousness in the womb. Now if that is an organic process already with the psychological impact, realize when Jesus says, unless you become like one of these, I go back to the inner experience and the physiological behavior pattern, you would slip into that state quicker. The master was just giving far more advanced techniques that are recognizable in the West. The West does not understand what he was talking about. A good many of the things he was talking about, advanced techniques for modern men in the yoga process. He knew yoga very well, but he knew yoga would have to evolve too. So he was giving techniques in his terminology for Western men. So the movement of pliancy, buoyancy becomes now getting into that state. Before you know it, the consciousness starts flowing. You automatically will be in that state. And it doesn't matter if you end up being like this or you end up being like this. The important part is that the whole body is pliable for the first time. It's loose. See, there is no soreness or stiffness no more. And originally, if you sit down in a position or you sit this way, when you get up, your back is sore from meditating. You feel you want to move. You shouldn't have any after effect of wanting to move a joint or letting go. These tensions should have been gone out of the body, you know, from the meditation. The meditation should seem to bring about this loosing up of the mechanism. So you have a normal harmonious flow inside. The stress points are very simple to realize. As I said before, when you start to meditate, you're going to yawn. Yawning is important to letting go of stress. Now, we have the solar plexus, which is a stress point, right in this area. Now, in the sole of the foot, right at this point, the nerve ending that connects to this point of the body ends up right in there. And if you press the finger in it and it's sore, then you have tension in there. You'll feel like a little spot in there, and if it's sore, there is tension in you. Now if you keep the finger on it till the soreness disappears, then up in this area, tension is letting go. It's letting go in the solar plexus by keeping it here. Anyone, left, because it represents the middle. If it's sore in there, you just keep the finger in it. Alright, then get go above it then. And feel it right on that bone there.
Yeah.
It now hurts? Okay. Then keep the finger on that bone spot where the pain is or the sensation is. And just maintain the pressure gradually till that pain goes away. That means tension is letting out. The method of a pressure point is to work with pain to remove pain, to remove stress, to bring about relaxation. The sensation of pain is to remove pain, and it brings relaxation by holding it there.
Why do I have it on top of the body?
Some people have more stress on the back of this of the solar plexus instead of the front. You might have hurt yourself or hit yourself in the back. Therefore, at the same point in this area, there is more stress than here. If you had a blow here, you'll feel it. Normally, when you're tight from shock or somebody aggravates you, you contract this way. You see? Your body does that automatically, which puts it in a state of shock. And it puts it in tension or traction. So, but if you bump your back or you fall, then this part here will have more tension. So if you press either top or bottom on the area that has the most sting or sensation, there is where the concentration of the tension will be. Now, the next area of tension would be in this area. This is a pressure point, right in this.
Underneath.
Right here. See where the bone comes up?
Yeah.
It's right here. If it's sore, do you feel it sore?
By the bony spot.
Yeah? All right.
Okay. You feel it now?
Yeah.
Good. Now just put the finger right there. Alright, just keep the finger right there. Who don't feel it, let me know.
You'll be sorry. You never heard before, you will.
Well, just put the finger there and hold it.
I've never had quite as many aches and pains.
Who knows who feels it? Everybody feel it?
Okay. This means we're nervous wreck.
What does that affect? That goes all the way up through the body, right up to the brain, and it lets go of all the stresses working back up to the solar plexus. Now, if you are meditating, and you find that you're too tight, and you can't let go. Once you put the finger there and feel that soreness, then as you keep the pressure gradually there, the sensation of pain will let go, and you may find yourself yawning or wanting to yawn, and then you may want to let go more. Then the sensation of pain will start disappearing. That means that you're really letting loose into the deep structural part of the muscles. Relaxation is actually occurring, not only in a psychological way, but it's occurring in a physiological way for the first time inside. And transformation of the body is occurring now within you. The real you is altering now to really have a balance of the forces within you. That these forces that were normally put into stress during the day now are returning back into balance inside. So you don't have this tense sensation or a feeling of when you go to sleep and get up, you feel kind of tight or you didn't get enough rest. This chronic fatigue state don't seem to persist. Once this is released, the chronic fatigue state is corrected. Some of us seem to suffer from a chronic fatigue state even after 8-9 hours sleep. You feel that tremendous weariness, a type of lassitude. This here is actually a correction process to bring about the balance, to bring the energy back into harmony yourself. If you yawn, that is good, because the more you yawn is an indication that you are unloading stress which has been accumulating or being suppressed by the very willpower. Now for the first time the willpower is letting it flow out. It's giving it a chance to unblock itself.
What about when you feel it back here?
Well, that, we're coming to that.
I mean, that's where I feel it from here.
Alright, it's feeding back to the medulla because that's your pain gate. You see, it feeds back to the pain gate. You have two pain gates, one in the top of the head and one in the base of the spine.
Well,
the bypass, the spine. Well, yes, it was at time bypass the spine, but if you feel after you work here, then you come up here, in this area, right in the sternum, there, that little spot, and then you go to the back of the head next.
Mm. Pressure point.
Yeah. Mm. You see, sometimes you've got a tightness in the shoulder and the chest, and you want to unwind. So by holding it there and unwinding, it'll unwind itself. It'll let the stress out. Now, sometimes the head feels tight, and you can twist it and may allow a great portion of the stress to come out, but then if you put the finger on this, the pain gate, which is the back part of the head, right in the medulla, see that little part there, it will start releasing the stress. Just enough to let you feel some type of a stinging sensation. Not really. Come right over here. Now normally, if you put the finger right here, right in the sternum, and hold it, and then move the shoulder. Are you feeling any sensation of pain here? Yeah. Touch it till you find a sore spot. Alright, then vibrate, move the shoulder blade, and keep the other one going. That's it. That's it. Let it work itself loose. How it feels now? As you keep your hand, just move the shoulder. Good. Let it go. Don't.
This thing, right in the back.
All right. Just work it. That's right. Just work it. Just work it loose. Now, sit down and I'll listen up another area for you. This is one area you normally you can't do for yourself. That's why it's in a group meditation, you can help the other person in front of you or next to you to break loose the tension in this part of the shoulder blade.
Pushing right on that big muscle.
That's right. Just keep the tension there. And now move your head around.
Okay.
Loose.
Nothing
better. Uh-huh. Okay, that's how it works.
It's a spine on the side.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, I feel like I'm going
to go. God,
it is. It's a good
pose. Now, when you and your husband get in an argument, or your wife get in an argument, you just get somebody to press with you. Loosen up all those tension areas.
You're not in good mood though. You don't feel it.
Get someone up and...
Would it do any good if you did that to
him? Yes.
Sit down and shut up when you punch him.
How do you feel that? Now you'll notice I'm going to ease up on the pressure and something else is going to start happening.
Now.
Right.
What are you doing? What is that?
I'm just pressing my finger on it now.
It feels like you're still touching it.
Huh?
The energy coming in out.
It's going now. The energy is going in now.
And you're just barely touching.
Barely touching.
Oh, can't believe. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, can't
you see
where your eyes are showing? Warm. No. Good. Oh, it's great. Just watching
you, you're getting so much listening.
Oh, it feels nice.
Purr like a pussy, yeah. There it
is. Now you see, there is no suggestion factor involved. It's totally scientific, leading from a mental level to a biological level and back into the extrasensory level. I applied pressure, then I eased up the pressure into the mental level. We're merely touching it. Then I pulled away without touching, and then you find more and more she started to. This is the extrasensory level now. So without indicating anything, you're actually working the three levels on a conscious basis for the first time.
You still have implants after you take your hands.
Yeah. See, because you are working with something on a conscious level, not an imaginative level. You see, and you know that it's there, and as long as you made contact the very first time to experience the pain reaction, then you have what is called the electrical field. Now, as you ease off from the pressure, you're going out into the inductive. So it's just a slight contact being maintained. So she's going to feel now this stinging sensation, which is the normal reaction as it ease up. It seems the further you go away from it, the more intense it gets. And then when you started out, it was intense at one point. And when you pull off to no contact, it got intenser. Because we are a living mechanism, and we have a polarity going on in us too. The negative charge and the positive charge. And you're making contact at a point where the energy must pass through their bodies and go through the polarization. So when you're making contact, you're actually opening up those stress points for them and causing it to dissipate now. So now, the difference between a needle being inserted, the needle will bring on anesthetization. In other words, she will not feel her body. That area will go to sleep. Then you can perform surgery. Now, since we're not using needle, we're using pressure, we are trying to establish pain, to correct pain, to free her from pain. It's a different principle altogether. But the results are superior than the needle. The needle is good, very, very good. But you have to insert it to anesthetize the mechanism. And then you have to evaluate if what you cut out is all removed or is there more to be removed. Whereas when you applying pressure, you are equalizing and correcting, and by its own natural mechanics, it will tell inside the body if the sensation is there or no longer there. And the body will start acting without having to remove anything. Its own normal mechanics will do it. So you feel more pliant after a while. The solar plexus
on the top of the
solar plexus here on the top would be right here.
Between the first two ribs.
Yeah. See where my thumb is? It's right there.
What did you say about the back? You said
that sometimes. That's the top
name. This is the front of your body, the face of the foot. This is the front. And this is the back, which is the back of your body. Right behind here, everything on the back is up here. Everything that is here is here. Your body is an early warning system because it's away from the other areas of the body. All the nerves end up in the feet. But at the same time, all the pressure points along the meridians, when the Creator made us, He made us like a fantastic piece of machinery. All the nerves are coming down and go off, and they go off into the feet, go off into the hands. The same thing would be true in my hands. If I had no feet, and I wanted to do the same thing to myself through my hand, I would have to locate it. Or if I took an atlas showing where all the nerves are in anatomy, they would end up exactly where I'm pointing. Now, what is phenomenal about it in modern science today is that the Orientals have already charted the actual meridian points, like currents in this ocean. Where these currents are in the ocean, these meridian points are passing through the body at a certain area of the body in a given geographical location, and they fall within these proximities. And if you apply an alien object or a pressure, we have a certain response or condition coming on. So it has to do with the way the Creator lined us up, that we can correct problems in the body by our own cells without having to really go and work on the organ. The organ is a last resort. You can correct it in the areas away from the organ. Now, we don't die from our head down, we die from our feet up. This is a natural law. You die from the feet up. And if you die from your feet up, then nature will automatically set up early warning conditions to indicate there is premature breakdown in major organs in the foot first. And therefore you can track any disease about to come on at a later date by the location in the foot. Now if it can do that, indicate, and the lines of movement or the energies are passing through the body will also indicate. So if I touch a meridian point, I will have the same reading, just as much as if I touch an area representing an organ in the foot, I'd have the same reading. Now let's take my sinus. This would be just above the toe, under the nail. And if you press it and you feel it stings, then there's a blockage up in the sinus tract. Now if there is no pain, no sensation, no sting, there is no blocking there. Now if you hold it, there are three ways to get a reaction. You can inchworm it or work it like that and feel a stimulation, and the nose will start loosening up. There's a drainage will start occur. Now there's another way of squeezing it. Then if we apply acupressure, that is to merely hold a finger there or insert a needle, we will have the identical transformation. Now, but this is the way the nerve ends actually. The nerve ending under the nail runs all the way back right up from to the brain. If you look at the chart, you'll see it. And that is strictly physical anatomy now. Now the meridian would also fall in the same proximity and come up on the body, but it will fall in areas of other organs in other parts of the body. I may not have to press here, I can come up here, right in the same spot where I touched you just now, and get a quicker reaction than going down here and have the same reaction occurring.
Will that affect all the other organs along that meridian?
Yes, every organ along that meridian is tonified immediately because they're in the same proximity. They're lined up. There's one beautiful part about human anatomy. You don't find your nose where your ears are and your lips where your toes are. They're always going to be in the same location. You see? So you can be pretty safe as to the meridian line or the contact point. And you can be pretty safe where the nerve endings go off. You are within a safe process to work with. And you don't have to be an expert. All you have to have is an understanding of where these things end and a method of correction. That is primarily what is required. Now, mystics or healers or spiritual men would come in and see a person with illness and go and touch them on a spot. And after a while, the person gets well. Well, he said, it's a miracle. To the man who's being healed, it's a miracle, yes. If he knew. But he doesn't know, so it's a miracle. Now, the other man who's doing it is aware of these principles by his inner meditation, by his inner understanding of the laws of nature. And he applies. Now, that person can feel heat from the person's hand, which is a natural law too. So every healer is only working with natural laws. He's not working with any magic. The creative force is working through him, and sometimes a healer actually can see the meridians on the body. He sees it with a physical eye, these lines, these invisible lines that are passing through the body, and they spark like light, like little fireflies. Now, on a hot day, you may drive a car and see the heat wave on the asphalt in front of you. Now, that same wavy motion can be seen by an individual who learns to relax and meditate. He sees that whole pattern structure set up in the human body. So now, if you're ill, he sees these lines are out of focus and they're discolored. So if he prays, meaning which is to bring his mind into concentration, and so that the life power, which is God, will flow stronger in him, so that when he reaches out now, he's making a direct contact in that spot. Prays, meaning which is bring his mind into concentration, and so that the life power, which is God, will flow stronger in him, so that when he reaches out now, he's making a direct contact in that spot. And maintaining the contact on that focal point, correction begins to occur now. So the healer himself knows within himself he doesn't heal. It's God that heals. That's why Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing, but the Father which is in me doeth everything. The Father in you is doing everything because you're lining it up. So you're becoming more aware of where these forces are. In the mystical schools, they were aware of it, so they knew where to go and touch. Now, you don't take your pearls and throw it to swine. That means you don't go around and boast about it and show off. When the time to use it, you use it. You see, there are lots of conditions in this body that will appear like death. And unless you understand what death is, you may not be able to correct that condition. A doctor may come in and examine the person and say he's dead. But another person will walk in and look and says, that person is not dead, he's sound asleep, in a different level of consciousness. Now, we have a condition like that in Jairus' daughter. Jairus' daughter was dead. And the parent was told by the doctor she was dead. That's from the physical observation, from the physical level of death, as what they understood death to be. The Master Jesus came in and looked and said, she's asleep. Now, who is wrong and who is right and who is holding out false hope? You know, this could be very cruel to a person to offer out false hope that the child is sleeping, you know, when the child is really dead. Or who is really telling the truth? But if doctors are honest men in their own field of research and they say she's dead, the mystic is honest in his research that she is asleep. Now, Jairus is going to be criticized by the people for believing in such a crackpot. But Jesus asked them to send the people out, and when they send them out, that means he has to protect himself against the AME at that time. Or the whatever kind of medical association was functioning, he can't expose himself because I'm just using a kind of a way. So he has to send them out of the room to apply a method to the child that may look upon as something alien or not what they would consider the practice of the time. So he goes, and she's not dead. She might be in a deep state of shock or in a deep state of conscious shutdown. So he's going to go to the particular meridian point that runs up from the brain to the heart and apply pressure. When he applies the pressure with his concentration or focusing, then the heart clicks over. The brain starts vibrating. And she comes, her eyes open up and she comes out of it. Now, he has repolarized the energy back in her body. It's God's energy which is flowing through. You just have the wisdom or the understanding of where it is, the center of it. She turns up. She comes up awake. Because he understands how this force is working. It's working inside. So, there we have an individual demonstrating mastery over death. But death from the medical man's version at that time, or the layman's comprehension of shutdown, not death from the mystic understanding, because that is only another level of the mechanism. Now, let's go on to the same type of condition. We take a man like Lazarus. He is shut down now. And from the people seeing him, he is dead. And Jesus is making the remark, this is not a death unto the dead. The very statement tells you there are various levels of death. To an acupuncturist or to acupuncture massage or meditation, there are levels where this energy goes and pulls and shuts off. Sometimes it seems kind of weird that the body will shut off and you can go and touch a spot and cause it to be activated, depending on how this shutdown is going on inside. Well, he is aware of this, that this is a shutdown in a different level. So he goes back to the grave, and then he centers his consciousness from a remote movement. Now, a little while ago, I showed you what a remote movement would be. I pressed on the shoulder first, then I eased off from the shoulder, and it got stronger. As I pulled away from the shoulder, it kept on going. Now, just imagine you're taking the same condition off. One is in the grave and one is outside in the yard, separate. And the same contact point is being maintained. Well, in the case of Lazarus, Jesus actually shut him down before. He was living in Lazarus' house. And he left Lazarus' house. And when he left Lazarus' house, a strange illness came upon Lazarus. That means some kind of condition or shutting down began to occur in Lazarus. the Master Jesus was actually curing him from a certain thought pattern. And so when he shut him down, and when he was told that Lazarus was ill, he paid no attention. And the second time he was told that Lazarus was dead, then he made the remark, "This is not the death unto the dead." He knew what he was doing. He was actually shutting down the energy in Lazarus to free Lazarus from certain desire patterns, and then he was going to raise that energy back up, showing Lazarus that he was free from those patterns. So when he came back, he said, "Lazarus, come forth," in a loud voice. But then at the same time, he said, "Father, I did not have to say this in a loud voice, only because of the people that are around." That's why he makes the statement. Now, no one understands why he's saying that unless you understand what he's doing. If you understand what he's doing, then you can understand what is involved in the process. He says, "Lazarus, come forth." "But Father, I did not have to say this in a loud voice, only because of the people that are around." Meaning he has to put on a facade to let them experience that there is no such mental condition that they're seeing, that he understands this process, which they will eventually understand. So Lazarus wakes up, but it's sending the energy back into that same origin point and activating those bodies, pulling them back up. So Lazarus had to get up because the energy was not shut down by any other method but by the Master's own consciousness. So he's activating them back. The same thing is true when we understand what's going on in ourselves, that the energy is all here all the times, and consciousness is connected to it.
Are you going to do color music tonight?
No,
not
tonight. Now, how do you use some Meridian line to compose that? What's the composition of it? The word itself tells you there is no composition. On this earth, if you see a globe and you want to divide the globe from north to south and east to west, what are those lines called? But they are known as meridian lines. Is there an actual meridian line on the earth? No. This is an agreement of dividing this object up from north to south, east to west, in order to reckon or to locate your position. It's an accepted condition, but it's not an actual line going through the earth. When you have a map here, these lines are set up and drawn to indicate to the observer that would be the location. It's not an actual line going through the earth. The 84th parallel is not an actual line, or the 48th parallel is an actual line going. This is a condition accepted for a geographical reading. Now, the meridian in the human body is accepted as a movement for the energy to follow. So, if I look at this chart here, you'll see the chart indicating what a meridian would be. These are not actual lines on the human body. These lines are not actually there. But within the measurement area of the hand, and it has to be measured out to scale. This one is not the scale measurement. So let's take this point here. down here. This is not an actual line, but this point can be recognized. Now you recognize it by placing the finger there and feeling for a sore spot. Wherever there is a meridian gate on that, wherever there's an entrance point, a contact point, and that point is always got a tight soreness there. So when you feel for the sore spot, you hit it. Once you hit it, you know you hit the gate. Now normally look at this, you don't see no gates in the body, but how is the acupuncturist going to know? So the first thing he does, he takes the needle and scratches. Or he may feel with his finger first and then he will insert the needle. So when he presses, he looks for the reaction on you. Then he knows he has hit this point. But from long practicing, he knows exactly where it is because he's got about this much area to work with. So if he puts a quarter right there in that spot, he's got a whole quarter circumference to work with in that area. He can't miss out. So he knows exactly that spot is going to be there all the time, allowing for Western body and Eastern body, only a quarter of an inch difference in the line. So he knows exactly there. So he can stick the needle in and turn it in that spot. Now, we have a whole thumb to come in and touch or apply. So once you hit the spot, you maintain the pressure. Now, the principle is this. If you're going on a meridian, that means a straight line, and we try to pursue the curvature down. Now, if you went in a straight line along your leg and felt, or you didn't go in a straight line, you just went from spot to spot and tried to feel different sore spots along the body. And every sore spot you came across, you mark an X. From the heel right up to the hip that you could touch, you just mark an X and then draw a straight line through it. You'd have a meridian. They will stay within a certain proximity all the time. And if you were to take a chart and line them up with the nerves now, you'll see those nerves will run in the same proximity right back to major organs. They don't deviate. They're created to make them deviate. You can't. You have to stay within the proximity. So you can always rely on it that if I want to touch the heart meridian, I only have to look at the chart and press along it and get to the heart. Now, if I don't want to do that, I look at the foot. The foot represents my body. The lungs are in the ball of the foot right here. So right here in the center would be the heart. Because the heart is right here, just above the solar plexus. So you have the heart in this area. See? And your left foot is where the heart would be.
On the chart, now they show lines here. Can you see the lines on your chest?
Yes, you feel them on your chest.
They're not inside, so you can't feel them. Right above the skin.
You feel them all on the outside. Remember this, the peculiarity of the meridian function is this. The closer they are to the surface, is the easier you can touch them. In other words, with the slightest sensation on the surface of the skin, you can actually feel it. A real person who has had a long experience would come along and just merely pass the finger along and can feel the actual contact points. And before you even come close, you can actually feel a sensation stinging in the area. Remember, just now when I merely pressed it and touched, it was stinging already. And first I pressed hard enough for you to feel the pain, then I pulled away for you to feel the stinging sensation. Now when I pulled off completely, he was still moving. So within that point, you can actually go along and feel it. Now, this takes practice, but once you can recognize and you can touch gradually, you can find the spot. Now, in your whole area here, let's say you come to this spot here.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to apply too much pressure to get it, you see? Now, you are not applying too much pressure. Now, the best stimulation is this type of pressure. So, but the person is not aware of that, so you have to do that first to give him an indication of something then because you ease off of it. Now as you ease off, you can stay away from it. Now, more and more as you get more the ability to handle it, you can look at it. Now your eyes have the same power as your fingers without touching, because your eyes will generate the energy. It's no magic. It's just a matter of explaining the electrical forces of your own body, and you can do it. You see, Jesus knew this. Let me explain. The more he became pure or lined up between polarity, the more the energy would flow. Now, when he went to see somebody, he didn't have to touch some people, because he knew that the whole thing was organized by the principle of energy. I am the Father of one, he said. I am this energy of one in consciousness already. So he can just think of this spot and it will go out. Now this is the advantage of one who is trained in the human anatomy versus the one who is merely praying for healing in another person's body. We pray and say, Lord, help this person. Right? And our mind is scattered, and to some extent we say, thy will be done. We will get results, but with a tremendous handicap of plus a tremendous amount of effort to push into it. Now, if one can actually see the body form and know where these meridian lines are, one can think on the meridian line now, which is more specific. You see, in as much as you can touch it, you can think it. And this is the evidence of Baxter's work when he was able to set up a plant in one city, go 100 miles or 1,000 miles in another city, and merely think of the plant and cause the plant to be activated. You see, Baxter has proven this in this country already. So if you don't have to go too far now to see the possibilities within your own makeup of therapy for the first time, utilizing lines of energy in the human body. Now, this is what the mystics are talking about. We don't necessarily have to use the crude method of inserting needles or pressures or cutting up the individual if we can only center the mind on the true form. We can now monitor these things and correct them. You see, and that's where a spiritual master is. He has mastered these lines and he knows directly how to correct them by thinking on them. Now we have the case like the centurion servant. The centurion servant was dying or ill, and he came to see Jesus and he said, if you only say the word, you will be well. I mean, don't come now and touch the man, don't come even do anything. So Jesus said, not in all Israel have I seen such faith, meaning he hasn't seen anybody with this kind of comprehension at that time who could really understand what was going on inside. So but Jesus says, go, it's done, meaning that he could automatically think on those lines of that man's mechanism and send the energy, and it began to work. Now we're in the same principle.